Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that very, very much. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of James. Hebrews, James, in the New Testament there. The Victory Conference on Saturday, I haven't said a whole lot, the guys have been saying it, but I want to encourage you to do that. If you want to do that, guys, I really want to encourage you to do that. If you want to ride the bus, make sure you check that. Last time I looked, there wasn't anybody who said that, but that's fine. We'll meet here and go over. But I really want to encourage you gentlemen to do that. It will be a good day. They feed you well for breakfast, and they feed you again for lunch, and it's just good to be with a group of guys and encourage one another. So I really want to encourage you to do that. But put your name on. I mean, the last minute you come. You know, it'll be all right. But if you think you're going to come, put your name on there. And the reason is so that I can call and give them a good number, because they're feeding us for free. They want to know how many is coming. So that's really the deal. So I want to encourage you to do that. Really want to encourage you. That's coming up this next Saturday morning. And Brother Myers always does a great job over there, so we appreciate it and encourage them as well. But if you can do that, I would encourage you to do that. James chapter 1, if you will, please. We'll touch on most of this chapter before we get finished here tonight. But I want to read a couple sections. James chapter 1, verse number 1. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, you could say to the people of God, 12 tribes, which are scattered abroad. Greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Jump over to verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Jump over to verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, a mirror. And he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being a not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. I am once again kind of working on our theme here for this year. And tonight we're talking this topic, and we'll get a little further on this on Sunday nights. I will probably, the other staff members will be preaching some on Sunday nights, and I know that, and we've decided to do that. We want you to have the opportunity to hear them, because there are certain things that they bring across. Each of us have our own skills. But most of the time when I'm preaching, we're actually going to start doing a series of messages out of Psalm 119. And that's the vision. Some of you know what Psalm 119 is. All but like one or two verses of that book, that chapter, it's bigger than some books. Psalm 119, all but a couple of verses, refers directly to, and the other ones allude to, the Word of God. That's the vision. And we talked about this this morning. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And a lot of us will say, well, I really want them to understand, but I'm not sure what they need to understand. What can I do? You know, when we get to the point where we think, well, what can I do? Well, then we don't understand the vision yet. This afternoon, it hit me. Janet and I were having lunch, and it kind of hit me. The vision, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The law. The law. That's the word of God. And when that was written, they was talking about the law, the Ten Commandments, starting with the greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and mind, and the soul. You know, summary of the Ten Commandments. And there's other laws that are on there, but all those things really are come out of the main Ten Commandments. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law and to fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we would be able by nature, so to speak, the new nature in us, fulfill the law. You see what I'm saying? Now, the Bible in Exodus gives us the law. In the book of Deuteronomy, which really means the second speaking of the law, gives us the law again. And it says it several times, and Jesus mentions them in the New Testament as well. But you realize that most of the rest of the Bible is there to convince us to keep the law. The law itself is not all that big a deal. It's not that hard. It's right there. It's in front of us. There's some simple things that we need to tend to. The problem is we just don't. Or we won't. Most of it is the fulfillment. On these hang all the law of the prophets. What? To love the Lord thy God, the heart, the mind, the soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. The outpouring of the law is to do unto others as you have them do unto you. And so really when we think about the Word of God, understanding the vision of God is to do right. And the rules to do right are just not that many. All these rules, it's not that many. We place a whole lot more rules on our own life than the Lord has. The problem is not that there are that many, it's just that we don't want to obey them. We don't want to be confined to them. So we'd rather perish. We wouldn't say we would, but that's where we are. So let's pray, and I'm going to speak on this topic tonight to start this little series of message, understanding the vision. Understanding the vision. We need to get the vision. Now, I understand when it says where there is no vision, it's talking about the Word of God, and people need to know the Word of God. But it's the Word of God to tell us what we should do, to tell them what they need to do. Well, we need to get the vision as a people of God to allow Him to tell us what He wants us to do so that others get the vision. We need to get the vision so we can give the vision. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I guess I've never actually pushed this hard as I have the last few weeks here. Lord, I feel like our time is short. Our window is open. We've got to walk through it. We've got to walk through the doors that are open. If we don't, we're going to miss out. And if we're not careful, we're going to miss our window of opportunity, and it's going to be worse, even worse than what it was before. Lord, there may be some things we can do right here. You said if we resist the devil, he'll flee. And we resist steadfast in the faith. That's very clear. So we need to get the vision to obey you, and by faith to continue to obey you, and that the devil will flee if we will just simply get the vision of the law, get the vision of your word, and obey your word. So, Lord, I pray that you speak to us here tonight. That may be a blessing. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. The vision that we're talking about here, the vision of God, is the Word of God. Where there is no vision, where the law of God is not present, the people perish. Here, you used to see all the old stories. There's one station on TV. We don't have cable, but we get a pretty good antenna thing. And one station, which one? I'm trying to think which one it was. It's Channel 15 or 21-2. I don't know. One of them plays westerns all the time. You know, and they got the Riflemen, and and Dead or Alive, One of Dead or Alive, and all these old western movies, and western shows. And if it really was like it was old western was, the wild, wild west, it was dangerous just to walk out on the street. Are you the law around here? And if you were the law around here, they're probably going to shoot you. Put you up there in Boot Hill with the rest of them, Don't tell me what to do. And so you had no law. There was lawlessness. And so what happens? It's a mess. People perish. If you take all the law out of York City. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't like driving through York City. It seems like every block I'll catch every single light. And then I remember the first time we drove up here, I didn't know where this church was. All they said was above York. On 74, above York. Well, we grabbed 74. Well, in fact, what we did was we heard about the church. We hadn't, be honest with you, I just thought, well, let's just go up and see what it's like, So we came up to the Cracker Barrel down here in 83 on Duke Street, right? South Duke, Queen Street. There you go. And we got out of there, and we jumped on Queen Street, which is 74, if I remember right, and started heading north trying to find this church. So we're going right through the city. And I'm thinking, I don't want to come up here. What is this? And then I thought, well, I know it's got to be out here further. And I kept looking for a road to turn left. No left turn, no left turn, no left turn. I'm like, what am I going to do? So finally, we got to Philadelphia Avenue. So we just followed 74. It would have been all right. We got in the middle of nowhere. We were out, all of a sudden, we were in this industrial park. At a dead end, there we were at a metal gate and a fence. I've never been there again, but I don't know where I was, but we were lost. That's where we were. And anyway, we tried to find our way up here. And it was a mess. And I'm trying to think where I was going with this. Boy, I'm lost again. Where was it? Oh, the lawless, yes. I hated those lights. But do you know how many people would be killed if we took the lights out? If we take the lights out, somebody's going to get hurt. Because somebody's just going to barrel right through that thing. You're going to step up. One of those cartoons, And we don't like the law. But where there is no law, the people perish. Why is it that so few people have the vision of God in their hearts? Why do so few people know what's right and what's wrong? Why do so many people, including church-going Christians, still make unwise decisions and find themselves in difficult situations and see their lives falling apart around them, perishing? I think many Christians today think that because they can name a few Bible characters, tell a few stories, maybe even quote John 3:16, that they're biblically literate. The fact is, and I know because I was one, many Christians would not even be able to find the very verses in the Bible that were used to lead them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They wouldn't be able to find them in the Bible. Much less quote them and lead someone else to the Lord. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying. The reason that the Pharisees were able to get so far off track in the Bible there in their doctrine and thus in their practices was because even though they were around the Word of God much of the time, they did not know the Word of God. How many times it says, Jesus said, ye do err not knowing the Word of God, and have ye not read, and over again. We are not going to have the passion to make a difference in the lives of others if we're not sold on the product that we're trying to propagate. Do we really believe in the Word of God? Do we really believe that it is the answer that the world needs to set it up right again? Do we believe it is so much that we are bursting at the seams to make sure others know it? Do we know it enough to be able to present it? Many people can tell you all the political issues of the day and who's right and who's wrong according to their political party. But they would have a difficult time explaining why God is happy or not happy with us. Many people can rattle off the statistics after statistic concerning their favorite sports or the players or the teams or their favorite drivers. Would have a difficult time naming 6 of the 12 disciples, 3 different people that traveled with Paul in his journeys. They wouldn't have any idea. They know the latest remedy for the common cold, but they have a difficult time understanding the blood atonement. They know what Dr. Oz says and what Dr. Phil says and are free with their newfound knowledge with their neighbors, but those same neighbors are dying and dropping off into hell because we don't know what to do to help them. Some folks are staying up with the political issues because the candidates, it's issues between the candidates, but still have a problem reconciling faith and works in the book of James. We see the sins of people and tradition tells us that is not good and doesn't please God and will most likely make life more difficult, but we have no knowledge of where those principles are in the Bible or how to back it up. We just lovingly keep quiet on the issue while those around us are perishing. Though we need to see and have a vision of what needs to be done, the vision the Lord is talking about is the Word of God. I hate to say it, many Christians cannot give the vision of God because they do not have the vision of God, because many Christians do not know the Word of God themselves. We cannot give a vision that we have not received. Many think that if they can recall a few Bible stories from their young Sunday school years, that they're biblically literate. We cannot pass on what we do not know. We have had quite a few people come to our church who have been in church elsewhere for some time and tell us that they have learned more in 6 months here than 20 years where they had been. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize them, and then teach them all things. Do you really understand the vision of God? How can we give out the vision if we do not possess the vision ourselves? We need to get the vision. Understand the vision. And the vision of God is the law of God. The law of God is the Word of God. I want you to see some things here this evening. I want you to see God's people. God's people. Back to James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. Now I know he's talking to the 12 tribes of Israel. I understand that. And we don't replace the 12 tribes of Israel as the church. But we are part of God's people. And in fact, he says in Ephesians, he's going to make of twain one body, taking down the wall of division between us. We're all God's people. Now, he says the people of God are scattered out among the world. Hello? That's what he says. He says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Everybody out, we're all scattered everywhere. Hello? Can I have your attention here? People of God, I've got something I want to tell you here. The people of God are scattered. The body of Christ is dismembered, if you will. The body of Christ is dispersed. The people of God are divergent. There are many points of view out there. There are so many denominations. There are so many translations. The people of God are scattered. We're here, there, and yon. Now he says, listen, I'm talking to all those who are scattered. There are certain principles we need to hang on to. That's the truth no matter where you are. No matter what your background has been. Wherever life has taken you, there are some truths we need to understand. The body of Christ needs to be one body, not scattered. Again, many folks don't know the Word of God because they're not sure which one to read. I'll tell you which one to read. Get your old King James Bible out and read it. So I don't understand the words. Well, get a dictionary out. They're good words. Learn them. There's nothing wrong with that. You get on a construction team, you're going to learn some words you hadn't heard before. Isn't that right? You start getting into computer science. You're going to learn some words you had never heard before. They're good words. They mean something. Learn what they are. We'll go to college to learn all these terms, all this terminology and this and that and other things so you can talk intelligently with other people in your field, and yet we won't take time to learn the terminology of the Word of God. The vision of God. Is it that bad? Well, I don't like all the these and thous. Thee means you. Thou means you. Ye means y'all. Now, if you're down south, thee means y'all, and ye means all y'all. It's just not that, but why do you do that? Because it means something different. Am I talking to you individually? Am I talking to a whole bunch of you? Means something different. These are good words. They're meaty words. Learn them. It's no big deal. Well, I'm not sure. Do you want to have a vision? Do you want to know what God wants? Do you wonder why parts of your life is perishing? Do you wonder why the people around us and our society is going down the tubes? Because we're too lazy to learn a few words to get the Word of God. The people are scattered. They're divergent. They got all these different points of view. There's so many different denominations. Listen, you know how I became a Baptist? I read my Bible and let it say what it said. You know where I came on, how I learned where to stand on baptism? Janet said, well, what's baptism? We were just dating. I said, I don't know. I was sprinkled as a baby, but I don't think that's in there. So, well, you know what we did? We opened up the Bible, and we read it. We got one of those old Strong's concordances. I know you got to have a magnifying glass to catch it, but we looked up every place where the word baptism was used. And you know what we found? It means to immerse, to put all the way under. Now, there is such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That means when it gets all over you. There's a water baptism. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to do it, but it never gets anybody into heaven. You know how I learned that? We learned that by the Word of God. She grew up Catholic. I grew up Methodist. We became Baptists by reading our Bible. We went to a church that believed the Bible. Well, that's what makes sense. There it is. There's so many different things going on. We're scattered. We wonder why our people are perishing. All of this is because we have not been diligent in keeping the Word of God pure and unchanged. Well, this is easier to read. Yeah, but it's wrong. My Chrysler out here, I like it a lot. But the manual for that thing is that thick. And that's just the English part. And you're reading this thing. It does all kinds of things. I think it'll even spank the baby and change its diaper. I don't know. It'll do everything. Just put it in the trunk, close it up, see what happens. It's amazing what that thing will do. And the reading gets a little bit hard sometimes, and sometimes it gets a little confusing. And it's got this U-Connect thing, and how you're supposed to use this and that and other thing. And I'm an old man. It's hard for me. Now, I could use the manual out of the old 1972 station wagon we had. It was about that thick. Spark plug, gas here. Pull this lever, slide the seat back. I can understand that. Maybe I should read that because it's easier to figure out how to run my Chrysler. I can read it all I want and it's easier reading, but it's not the answers I need. A house divided cannot stand. Matthew 12:24, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow," speaking of Jesus, "doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, and prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand." We are not going to come out on top if we're not together. And can two walk together unless they be agreed? We need to stay together. We need to know the Word of God. We don't make the same decisions if we don't have the same input. We're not basing it on the same information. God's people are perishing. The reason they're perishing is because we don't know the Word of God. Number two, I want you to see God's problem. God's problem. God allows bad, quote unquote, bad things to happen to us so we will seek Him for the answers. You don't like it, I don't like it. Just accept it, it's the facts. He doesn't make them happen, but He does allow them to happen. Look at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now watch me. Since most of us are too lazy or too indifferent to seek the Lord for the right answers to life's questions on our own, the Lord often allows problems and issues to come up in our lives that overwhelm us so we will become desperate enough to seek His face. Why are people perishing? Why is He allowed it to happen? So that all, by all means, He may save some. The Israelites down in the lower, they've been talking about this, the lower two tribes of Judah watched as the upper 10 tribes were taken away by Syria. So why did God allow that to happen? Hoping they'll get the idea. Don't let this happen to you. It was how many years? 100-some years later, I guess, before they finally, they were gone too, but they didn't get the answer. They didn't get the clue. They didn't understand the memo. Sometimes God allows it in our own lives. We don't listen, He allows it to get a little bit bigger. Bigger mess. And a bigger mess. Trying to get our attention. And we think, well, I made it through, so I'll be all right. I don't need God after all. Instead of saying, by God's grace and His mercy, I made it through. I'm not going to let that happen again. I'm going to get a hold of you right now and do right. There are some who will come to Him. God allows it to happen. The problems that we have personally and as a society and as a nation and as a world are being allowed to happen by God. God could stop all the awful things in this world if He decided to, and many folks get bitter against God and accused of God of being a tyrant because He doesn't. But God knows what He's doing. Is it too much for us to handle? Yes! It's supposed to be too much for us to handle so that we'll finally seek the Lord with all our hearts. That's the problems He brings in. Wise up. We need to wise up and see the problems are from Him too, or allowed to be. Number three, God's plan. God's plan. Very simple put. He says, the trying of our faith worketh patience. I don't understand what God's doing. I'm not sure if He's trying your faith. Working your patience. What's that mean? Making me wait. I don't understand what God's doing, but it's God that's doing it. So I'm going to wait. That's what He said. That's why He said, work your patience. Trying your faith worketh patience. Well, what? Let patience have her perfect work. God has a plan for your desperate situation. You know, if it doesn't look desperate, you'll deal with it yourself. And see, that's one of those things. See, again, our society thinks the answer to all our problems is to build up somebody's self-esteem. You can do this. All right. God's trying to make it desperate. Why? So that we'll turn to Him. Why have we just turned to Him before He has to make it desperate? Duh. I didn't know you could do that. Well, you can. Bless the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. He shall bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That doesn't sound desperate to me. That sounds pretty good. Well, how can I avoid the desperate situation? Love the Lord thy God and meditate on it day and night so that you'll observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. And avoid the middleman of desperation. But if we choose not to avoid the middleman of desperation, God says, I'll use the middleman of desperation. Hopefully that you'll come back and start turning a deaf ear to the counsel of the ungodly, refuse to stand in the way of sinners, work against the idea of sitting in the seat of the scornful, but delight in the law of the Lord. God has a plan. Number four, God's promise. God's promise. Number four. He says, the trying of our faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. Let yourself go through that situation if that's what we need to do. But watch it. Do it the way God wants you to do it. Let patience have her perfect work, verse 4, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, that you'll grow up. Perfect, mature. You'll be okay. You can handle it. Not that you're handling it in your strength, but now you know how to handle it and letting God handle it. Not that you're doing the scheming and trying to work out the things, but that you're just simply trusting and obeying the Lord. If we will allow God to work, and if we seek His face and not rebel against the Lord's plan, the Lord promises to bring an answer. Well, I only rebel a little. Then you may only get a little answer, if any. And then we get mad at God. We do what we want. We wonder why it's not working. Well, did you do what He said? Well, I was thinking about that, but... I know that's what it said, but that's not going to work in my situation. I'm desperate here. Well, then, do it the way he said to do it. So, we have God's people, God's problem, God's plan, God's promise. Number five, God's purpose. God's purpose. Listen to me. The purpose of the problem is to work the plan, which is to bring you back to the Word of God. If we had gone to the Word of God in the first place, had the vision, the law of the Lord, the law telling me what to do and what not to do, if I had done that first, I wouldn't be in the category of the perishing. But I'm in the category of the perishing because I have no vision. I don't have the law of the Lord. I'm not happy in my life because I'm not keeping the law of the Lord. Second half of that verse there. So how do you fix the problem? Go back to the Word of God. You see, well, it's not working, and I kind of blew that, so I guess I'm past there. Now I'm going to have to figure this out on myself. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Do what I tell you to do. Work with me here. Is what he's saying. God is willing to give you the answers if you're willing to ask. Girls just sang it. Did you hear the words you saw? You just sang it. I can talk to him in the morning. I can talk to him in the afternoon. I can talk to him in the evening. He's always listening. And you know what? We say, well, I don't know if I got the answer. Well, did you listen? We talk to him. He's always listening. Now, you want the answer? Listen. And when he tells you, do it. God is willing to give you the answers if you're willing to ask. That's why he put you through the diverse temptations in the first place. To bring you back to him. Look at verse 5. We just talked about all these diverse temptations and so forth. You fall in these things and knowing this, the trial of your faith worth patience. The patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. A lot of folks say, well, I guess he's starting a new idea. This Bible, boy, he just throws this verse in, he throws that verse in. What in the world does that have to do with? I mean, why in the world? I mean, anyone lack wisdom? What does that have to do with my diverse temptations? Hello! Where are we getting our diverse temptations? We didn't have the Word of God, so we're perishing. I need the wisdom. So where are we going to get the wisdom? Well, I just can't understand that book. Did you ask him? That seems silly. I'm serious. You open that book and say, well, you know, he knows I want to know the answer. I don't have to actually. Well, to ask him. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask amiss, because you're just looking to do whatever you want to do on your own lusts. You want to know the Word of God? Listen, ask him. And then in your heart decide you're going to seek him with all your heart, not waiting for somebody else to tell you what you want. Listen, not to tell you what some denomination said. I can't tell you how many people, and over the years, I say, well, what is your church? I know what the Lutherans teach, I know what the Methodists teach. What does your church teach? I said, we teach you to listen to the Bible. And the Bible says that it's true. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, plenty, and upbraideth not. He's not going to yell at you for asking. Well, I forgot what he said. Ask him again. I don't know who maybe gave you a hard time because you asked the same question over and over and over again, but if you really want to know, God will tell you. Giveth liberty, upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Listen, God's not upset by you for asking for wisdom. That was the purpose of the problem. Where are we going to find the wisdom that we need? The wisdom of God is the Word of God. This is the vision we need to keep. We've got to keep us from perishing. We have these diverse temptations, put us on these trials, and it tries our patience. Well, what am I supposed to do? Well, ask God. He'll give you the wisdom. Get your nose in a book and listen to what He says. So we've got the people, we've got the problem, we've got the plan, we've got the promise, we've got the purpose. Number six. Now we need the passion. The passion of God's people. You know, when I lead somebody to the Lord, I'll go through the whole thing. You know, we're all sinners. None's righteous. No, not one. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God commends His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I'll go through the whole story, and I'll talk about the crucifixion. And they're sitting there, most times sitting there nodding their head. They've heard this story before. They showed up on Easter day. And I said, so we're all sinners. Oh, yeah. Because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. Yeah. You believe Jesus Christ died and paid for your sins? Yeah. And rose again, proving all your sins and paid for it? Yeah. But then there's this fourth little thing that makes or breaks whether someone gets saved or not. I know that it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I always back up to Romans 10:9. If you believe in a heart, if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe in a heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Nothing changed. Listen, we are unrighteous. There's no righteousness in us. If we're going to go from the category of being seen as unrighteous to being righteous, not that we're perfect, but by the way, we can become a whole lot closer to who Jesus is because of it. If we're going to go from being unrighteous to anything close to being righteous, it's when we believe with our heart. The passion of it. Oh, I'll pray for you. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, you tell me what to pray and I'll pray. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for that. You got to get lost before you're going to get saved. Now, you don't have to beat them up about it, but you got to get lost. And you know what? You've got to feel lost as a Christian, so to speak, desperate, sometimes before you're willing to ask Him for the help that you need. Look what it says, the passion of people. We must decide that God has the answers before God is going to give us the answer. You need some wisdom? Ask of God. That's fine, wonderful. He has the answers. If we're going to critique God's answers, then we're still in charge knowing good and evil. And that's how we got into this mess in the first place. Look at what he says in verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You know what he's saying? God has the answer. Now, I don't know whether I know what it is or when he's going to tell me what it is, but he has the answer. You got to decide that. If you expect God to talk to you, you expect God to give you the vision, the understanding of the Word of God, you got to decide He has the answers. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Well, you know, I go and I listen and I think, and God gave us a brain to think with. And yeah, He did. Stupid. You think you know more than God? God has the answer. And until you decide that God has the answer, you're not getting any of them. Well, I want to see what they are, and then I'll decide. Now you're back to being God. That's what happened in the garden. God said, don't eat of that tree in the midst of the garden. Well, it doesn't look bad. Looks like it looks pretty, looks like it's juicy, looks like it'd be good to eat. And hey, make one wise. What did God say? Don't eat it. Well, I don't understand. I mean, what? Nathan was saying this morning in his Sunday school class. We don't have to understand in order to obey. You're not going to know the hand of God, know the blessings of God, until you decide, first of all, God is God. And you ain't. God has the answer. So I asked him, but wait. Did you go and say, Lord, you've got the answer. I'm not moving until you give me the answer. Because I need your answer. Well, he didn't give an answer, so I'm going to figure it out here. I wouldn't do that if I were you. He says, but let him ask in faith, verse 6, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You're back and you're forth and this and that and the same. The politicians feel like they know which way the wind's blowing. That's where they're going to get. You know, every one of those guys, those buggers up there, say, well, what we got to do is get Donald Trump out. So whatever it takes. Now, they don't agree with each other. By the way, I kind of like them up there beating each other up until they're all a bunch of pulp, and nobody's going to want to trust any of them, really. It's just good advertising against themselves, you know, to be honest with you. But they all say, well, but whoever gets in, even though we don't agree with anybody, we're fundamentally opposed to one another, whoever gets in, we're going to support them. So you really don't believe what you're saying. Right? That's what they're saying. They really don't believe what they're professing they believe. They're just saying whatever it takes. Again, we've watched it. You need to put me in because I can get elected over Donald Trump. Who is best able to get Donald Trump out of the office? Who has a better chance of replacing him? That's what they're saying. And so they're going to do whatever's necessary to get him out. They're saying that. The end justifies the means. This is what I want to do. But the fact is, if I don't get the nomination, I'm going to support everybody else over here, then you don't believe it. People go to the Bible like that. Well, I'm going to read it. And if I don't like it, it doesn't make sense, well, then I'm going to do what I want to anyway. Then you're not going to get the answer. You're wavering. You're washing away. Listen, Dr. Phil says this, and Dr. Oz says this, and Oprah says this, and someone says this, and this has got this, you got this. Well, I listen to Fox News. Well, I don't care all those things. Do we know the Word of God? That's the vision. The vision is the Word of God. It's not the Word of anybody else. And I can have the word of everybody else, and if I don't have the word of God, I'm still on the perishing side. Do you understand that? Let not that man, verse 7, think that he shall receive anything. What I need is a life vest. God, well, you ain't getting it. You want the life vest that comes with the vision. The law of the Lord. If you want the law of the Lord, I can give you the rest of this with us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His control, His kingship in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Righteous according to His definition, not righteous according to our definition. As then all those other things that we need are added to it. So many people have not seen God provide. In these little ways, God takes care of us. But we've got to decide that He has the answer. We must seek the Lord with all our hearts. And instead of thinking the Lord owes us anything to us, let us remember who we are and rejoice that God even bothers with us, much less try to outthink God. See, this next verse here, you think, well, that doesn't make any sense. Listen. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting to grow up. Now, how are we going to grow up? Well, if you say, well, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. Well, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberty and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Well, I tried that, but let him ask in faith. Decide he has the answer. If you want to get the answer, God decide he has the answer. Nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in his ways. Why are you tossed around like you don't know which way to go? You're dizzy, just trying to get through life. Why are you unstable? Because you're double-minded. You haven't decided. God has the answer, I don't. God has the answer, the world doesn't. God has the answer, politicians don't. Now, he may use all those other people to propagate the answer, but he's the one that has the answer, and so you better go to him and see if somebody else lines up with him. Watch verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. You go, what in the world does that have to do with anything? Well, here it is. The preacher's telling me I'm supposed to know what's going on, get the vision. God's going to tell me. But who am I? God's not going to talk to me. I'm not the preacher. I'm not even a child of the preacher. In fact, anybody knew what my background, they probably wouldn't even like me. They knew what goes through my heart. Old Dr. J. Vernon McGee said, if I knew what was in all your hearts, I wouldn't bother to preach it to you. But he said, if you knew what my heart was made of, you wouldn't bother to listen to me. He said, let the man of low degree rejoice, because he's going to be exalted. God's got a plan. God doesn't say, the vision's for the rich people. The vision's for the intelligent people. The vision's for the educated people. The vision is for the royalty. He doesn't say any of that. He says, the vision, it's for the people. Doesn't matter who you are. He says, don't knock yourself out of running, out of the getting the vision, because you think you don't deserve it. God wants to give you that vision. He doesn't want you to perish. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. The Lord's going to be lifting you up. Get the vision. Look at verse 10. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of grass he shall pass away. Sometimes we knock ourselves out of getting the vision because we think, well, God doesn't want to bother with me. I'm not important enough. But some people knock themselves out of getting the vision of God because they think they're too important. They think too much of themselves. They've got this, they got that. You know, I don't really know. I'm smart because I'm rich. Now, there's some sense of that, I understand. But we're not necessarily wise in the things of God just because we have money. They knock themselves out of play because they're rich and they don't think that. And he says, "Well, wait a minute, you're like grass. You're going to perish away. You're nothing special. You're just, listen, God is God. We're still just going, done. I'm going to be 60 years old this year. 60. 6-0. I had my first midlife crisis when I was 30. I went back to college to seminary. I had my second when I was 40. And that's when I started looking, trying to figure out what God wanted me to do. And when I was 43, I came here. When I've been here, again, as long as I've been here already, I'm going to be 77 years old. Man. Life is just a vapor. It says, for the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grass, the fashion of it, perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. We're no big deal. But I tell you this, though. I can bloom right where I am as long as He wants me to bloom. I don't have to perish. I'm not on this earth very long, but I can have a good time while I'm here. Now, wait a minute. Don't blame God for your lot in life and the problems and the diverse temptations. That's the next thing. That's the next thing that people start thinking. Well, I have all those diverse temptations. It's God's fault. He's doing this to me. Look at verse 12. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And that word crown of life, some people think, well, that's when the crowns are going to throw at his feet. Maybe so. But I think to a certain point, he's going to bestow upon you life. You're going to have a life. He came to bring life, and not just life, but life more abundantly. So when we endure the temptation, how's that? By faith, work in our patience. You're going to come out the other side, and you're going to receive the crown of life the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. We are the ones that got ourselves into this mess. Why? We didn't have the Word of God, the vision. So we didn't know the law. We were lawless. And where there is no law of God, we perish. We lose. God only gives us good things. And every good thing you have is not because of you or your smarts or your efforts, but because of God's mercy and grace. Look at verse 16. Do not err. In other words, don't get this wrong. Don't misunderstand this. Listen to me, he says. Don't miss this one. Don't get this wrong, my beloved brethren. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. That's who he is. He's not changed. Neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He's got a plan for us. But we're not going to get the plan unless we decide he's got the answer. So number 7, here's God's program. Here's God's program. We need to get with the program, first of all. But here we go. Go and hear the word of God on purpose. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I understand what we talk about. We use that term to say, well, I ought to be nice and not tell everybody what to do. I ought to listen to what's going on. That's true. But wait a minute. Put it back in context here. We're having troubles, and we need wisdom to get through these troubles. So what do we need? We ask of God by faith, nothing wavering. So what are we doing? We're going to listen. Be swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. I need to hear what God wants me to do. I need to go there fast. Real slow. Tell anybody else what they should be doing. Real slow telling God what he should be doing. And by all means, who are we to think we have the right to get mad about it? Wrath. Where does temptation come from? Our own sin. And sin brings forth death. We perish. So what? We don't have the right to get mad about this. And when we do,
Verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. All we're doing is we're living in the flesh. Spirit of God's not working. We're back to working against ourselves. So we need to go hear the word of God on purpose. Next, receive the word of God. There is a difference. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Engrafted. We have some trees in our yard that were hybrids. Excuse me. They're grafted. They took a base, and then he put another tree in that base. And a lot of times you see that they've grafted them together, and they grow together. And so you get the root of one, and you get the top of the other, and you get a weeping cherry or something like that. Those weren't normal. They grafted them. They're engrafted. He says, I want the word of God to become part of who you are. Slice it open, put it in there, tie it tight, and let it grow together as one. The engrafted word. So it doesn't get away from you. Receive with meekness. You mean you're going to chop me off and put this in this place? Yep. And meekness says, because that's what I need. Give me your vision, God. Let me throw my vision out, and you give me your vision. And then a mixture of the two becomes exactly what the master wanted. He says, if you're still filthy, you're still naughty, if you will. He says, you have not received the word as part of who you are, and we're going to perish. We go hear the word of God. We need to receive the word of God. We need to, next, obey the word of God. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Understanding the vision. The vision is the word of God. Understand the vision. I've got to have the vision. Let the word of God become my vision. If any man be a hearer of the word of God and not a doer, he is like a man unto beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. If you listen to the word, but it doesn't change your actions, you're just deceiving yourselves that you have the vision of God. And if you don't have the vision of God ourselves, we can't give it out. We're not. You say, well, you know, it's fruitless doing all this, but it's not making any difference. It could. They say that Finney, the evangelist Finney, would walk into town and people would, the God was so much on him that people almost fall over. I'm not talking about crazy, stupid stuff that you know, some people talk about these days. But they just all of a sudden became such convicted of their own sin. Even before they saw him in the door. I'm saying the power of God can be upon us in such a way that we can make a difference. But that's not going to happen if we're not letting him take control of us as he should. We need to obey the word of God. Letter E. Well, probably D for you, isn't it? Be the word of God. Be the vision. Verse 25. Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. You know what he's saying? We can talk about it. We can be around it. But it's got to be engrafted into us. If you want to get the vision, the life-giving word, you've got to take it with all your heart.
decide that God's word is true. He has the wisdom, he has the truth, and I'm going to get it. And if I don't understand it right away, then I'll just keep working on it. I'm not going to go someplace else looking for it. Because the vision is the law of God, the word of God. Lastly, give out the word. Verse 27, pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Keep myself pure before God and give myself for the sake of others. What does that mean? Love God with all thy heart, all mind, soul, and all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. That's really what it's saying. Put that in action. Then you have the vision. The promise of the Word of God. We say we believe the Word of God, but do we live in reliance on the truthfulness of the promise? The purpose of the Word of God, to clean us up, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And from a child, we've known the Holy Scriptures, that all Scriptures given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. The principles of the Word of God. They're the scrubbing particles. Scrubbing bubbles? You know that commercial? Scrubbing bubbles? The Word of God. Well, I don't always like it. Sometimes it's a little bit on the abrasive side. But that's what it takes. Sometimes it's one of those Mr. Clean sponges there, you know, and takes everything off and turns it over to something a little on the rough side there. Some of you ladies have a sponge in your sink. One side's spongy, the other side's kind of rough. It's a little on the sand, papery side, you know. Why? Sometimes you need a little bit more. Sometimes God's going to sponge us, and sometimes he's going to scrub us pretty hard so that we get the vision. Get rid of the junk. We need to be washed in the water of the Word. Ephesians 5:24 says that the man might present to himself a glorious church not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Jesus said, I am the vine, and the Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. See that? Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And the program, the word of God, is to preach the word of God. I charge you, therefore, Paul says to Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, that's the sandpaper side, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, that's the spongy side. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. The program is the process used to instill the principles of the Word of God into the hearts of the people in order to fulfill the purpose of the Word of God, and that is to help us see the promises of the Word of God in our personal lives. Let's pray. Father, help us understand your vision. Help us to realize we need to get the vision. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to give out the vision. And we may have seen some things about the Word of God. We may know a few verses, and we may know a few stories. But do we really have the vision? I know the Word of God, we're always learning something new. That's true. But do we really have the vision? If we're going to make a difference, we need to let you make a difference in us first. A real difference. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.